Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn. This week, Parshat Ekev. And we have a source sheet in front of us that we're using. Here's another one. Lior, do you have one? Okay. Oh, so let's pass this down. Okay, wonderful. So here we go. For the context, and then we'll pose the question. The context is B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people, are getting ready to enter into the land of Israel. The book of Devarim is Moshe's last speech, lengthy speech to the Jewish people. And God tells B'nai Yisrael that there's the benefit for them for performing the mitzvot are all sorts of wonderful things that could happen to them. So just before we get to the source sheet, Kol HaMitzvah, this is the beginning of chapter 8. You don't have it in front of you. I'm just reading it for context. Kol HaMitzvah asher anochi mitzavecha hayom tishmun lasot leman tichyun urvitem uvatem v'yushtem at ha'aretz asher nishpa ha'doshem lavoteichem. The entire commandment that I command you today, you shall observe to perform so that you may live and increase and come and possess the land that God swore to you. So here's where it gets interesting. God says, do all the mitzvot, and if you do all the mitzvot, you'll be able to possess the land. And then he says, remember, here's what happened when you were on the road from Egypt to the threshold of the land of Israel. Remember the entire road on which Hashem, your God, led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Leman anotcha lenasoticha ladat et asher bilvavecha hatishmor mitzvotav imlo. The reason why God, and this is interesting, even though it's not what we're going to talk about, the Torah is telling us why God schlepped the Jewish people through the desert for 40 years. Normally, what's the reason that we're familiar with?
Generation die out.
But why? Why should the generation die out?
I don't know. I thought that was
the
last thing to do.
They believed the spies.
Right, because of the sin of the spies. Right. And they believed the spies and they cried and they said, we don't want to go to Israel. And God said, okay, you don't want to go to Israel? You won't go to Israel. We'll just wander around here for the next 40 years till the generation dies and then you'll get in. But this pasuk gives us another reason why God took them around in the desert. It says explicitly, and you should remember the 40 years in the desert, Leman anotcha lanasotcha ladat et asher bilvavcha hatishmor mitzvotav imlo, that I took you in the desert to test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would observe his commandments or not. So this is very interesting that the travels through the desert were a way for God to check whether the Jewish people were going to be loyal to him. Or not. It's an interesting way to test them because they were provided with everything they needed, right? They had a cloud of glory and a pillar of fire and a traveling well and the man, the food that God provided for them. And despite all of that, all those provisions that God provided them, nonetheless, they still sometimes rebelled.
But and then the next generation is the one
who's going to let right, but everyone, but people rebelled, right? Yeah, exactly. And then he goes on and says, "Vayancha, vayarivecha, vayachilcha, taman, asher lo yadata." He afflicted you and let you hunger, and then he fed you the manna that you did not know, nor did your forefathers know. So that everyone will know that not by bread alone does man live, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yechia adam, rather by everything that emanates from the mouth of God. Meaning, every single day that the man fell was a silent declaration to the Jewish people that they need to know that God's in charge, and their continued and future existence is completely dependent on God. Okay, so we're gonna just, that's sort of a cutoff, because then the next verse sort of introduces another miracle, right? The first miracles that we talked about were the mun, and those were there to, first of all, test the Jewish people, because it was strange, it was out of the ordinary, it wasn't regular food, and what would the reaction be of the Jewish people to that? And it also served as a daily reminder to the Jewish people that their existence depends on God. And now we get to the pasuk that you have on the top of the source sheet, which references a really interesting event or series of events that the Jewish people experienced in the desert. This is verse number 4. Simlatecha lo valtame alecha, your clothes did not wear out. Viraglecha lo batseka, nor did your feet swell. Ze arba'im shana, these 40 years. And then the next verse is, V'yadata im levavcha ki kasher yaser ish et beno Hashem elokecha mi yasreka. You shall know in your heart that just as the father will chastise his son, so Hashem your God chastises you. So what's going on here with this notion of the clothing not wearing out? What exactly happened? Right? And not only what exactly, but why did that happen? What was the purpose? What was the purpose of that? So let's first of all talk about what the purpose of that was. What do you think, in the context of what we read, what do you think the purpose of the garments not wearing out was about? So it's a continuation of the narrative that we've been having, that just like God gave you the mun, God also created the situation that where the clothing did not wear out. Not only, again, to remind them that God took care of them, but also to remind them that everything depends, that their existence totally depends on God. And in fact, the Ralbag, who we've studied here before, he says something similar when he's talking about in his commentary on this chapter. He's talking about the verses that we read. And then he says also, Ad shekvar hechye am rav kazeb midbar bezulat lechem, baman shorid lahem baderech pele. While we're already talking, right, that God had sustained this large number of people in the desert without food, without bread, without normal food, we'll say, but with the mun, which was a miracle. Vaya od mehapela bazeh. There was another miracle besides that. Shelo baltasim latame alehem botam arba'im shana velo balu min alehem eyal raglehem. That for 40 years their clothing didn't wear out, their shoes didn't get too small. Vahayaze kulo lahatmid lahem bazeh hazman ha'aruch. All of this was done to serve as a consistent reminder during this lengthy period of time. Riyat elu hanifla'ot ha'atzumot, they would see these miracles in front of them all day long. Kadesha yirgalu b'ha'amanat Hashem yitaleh. So they would get accustomed to believing in God. And all of these things, the cloud, and the fire, and the mun, and the traveling well, and the clothing, and the shoes, these were constant, consistent, daily reminders of God's presence, so that they would believe in God. This is in preparation for going into Eretz Yisrael, where all these things are going to stop. There'll be no more mun, there'll be no more miracle well, their clothing will presumably wear out, their shoes will wear out. There'll be no more cloud of glory and pillar of fire. So God wants to sort of really pound into them belief in God, so that when they get to Israel and life is normal, they'll already have been well versed, if you will, in God. Okay, yeah, two questions.
But you said the people who were in the desert all died out before they went to Israel. So how are they going to know about all these things that happened?
No, the generation of Jews born after the sin, those 40 years, they're getting into Israel and they experienced all these things.
I thought, okay.
Right, the older generation who came out of Egypt, they didn't get in, but people were born over those 40 years.
So if somebody left Egypt as a year-old child, he died before he got to Israel?
I'm not 100% sure how it worked. It had to do with the sin and the people who cried out and didn't want to get in. Yeah. Yeah, Doreen. Right, 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 and right, exactly. Even right, a good example of that is right after the Jews left Egypt, and they see all the miracles, they start complaining that they want to go back. As soon as they get to Sinai, they have the golden calf. So it seems that you're right, that miracles and wonders are not necessarily a great source of faith.
It's a good
question. Yeah.
But outside of faith, if we look at second pasuk, which you read, when Torah suggested that he is your father, you don't believe in your father. You feel he is part of you. This is nothing to do with the faith. And this is why I think that Torah make comparison to Hashem.
That's very nice, right? I mean, I'm just someone asked me to repeat the comments because they don't hear them, so because they're watching from home. So Zach has suggested that the Torah, the reason why the Torah compares God to Father in the next verse, is because it's not about faith. It's you don't believe in your Father. You know your Father exists. The challenge is, I would simply say that also didn't work. It also didn't work, right? It says, the verse says, just as a father chastises his son, so God chastises you. That's great. And it still didn't work. They still kvetched and they still complained.
It's okay.
Right?
But that's what you do to your father.
I'm not indicting or defending Bnei Yisrael. What I'm saying is the fact, I think you're right, the fact that all of these things would bring their appreciation of God from faith to knowledge, because every single day there was mud and every single day there was food and water, it still didn't work 100%. They still had lots of complaints and many times asked to go back, and they rejected the mud. We hate it, right? So, yeah. Okay.
Your kids never said they don't want to eat it because they don't like it?
Yes. Although the difference is, you know, when you're in the desert and your literal existence depends on that. But yeah, it's a very good point. Okay, so now I want to sort of switch gears for a moment and talk about the nature of the miracle, because believe it or not, there are interesting and different interpretations as to exactly what the miracle was, that the clothes didn't wear out, why it happened. So let's look on the source sheet. For those of you playing along at home, we're looking at Rashi on that pasuk, where it says "Simlaticha lo valta," that your clothes did not wear out. So Rashi explains how that happened. Anane kavod hayu shafim bichsutam. The clouds of divine glory used to rub the dirt off their clothes. Umigatzim otam kimin kelim migohatzim, and bleached them so that they looked like new white articles. So now we have a whole new understanding of this, of the Ananei HaKavod. The Ananei HaKavod provided shade, and it was a dry cleaner. But But it's like but the thing is, it's like it's a cross between a car wash and a dry cleaner, because normally in a dry cleaner you have to take your clothes off and give it into the dry cleaner. But here you just like you sit in your car and you drive through the car wash. So here you as you're walking through the desert, right? You don't have to take your clothes off and give them into the dry cleaner. Just the Anakavot took care of them. It provided some sort of cleaning service to them. V'af kitanehem kimo shayu gedelim haya gadol levushani mahem. And also their children, as they grew, their clothes grew with them. Kilavush hazeh shel chomet shegadel imo. Like the shell of a snail which grows with it.
Not like right? That grid here in Melbourne.
Okay.
Start off with the uniform down around their ankles.
Right. So there are two miracles here. One is the clothing did not wear out. But if you were young and you were growing, your clothing grew with you. Okay? And the reason why is because of this the Ananei HaKavod, the cloud of glory, right? That's what protected the clothing. The Ananei HaKavod protected the clothing from getting dirty and apparently gave them the ability to grow. And what about the shoes? Your feet, V'raglecha lo batseka, lo nafcha kabatsek. They did not swell like dough. Batsek is dough. Lo batseka, kederech holche yachef sheraglehem nifuchot. As is usual with those who walk barefoot, that their feet become swollen. So they were walking a lot. You would think their feet would become swollen. Doesn't say anything about the little kids whose feet grew. Maybe the same thing happened, that their shoes grew with them. Rashi doesn't say. But despite their walking through the desert for long periods of time, every single day, their feet did not swell up. So Rashi is very much in keeping here with the sort of natural flow of the psukim, that this is all part of the miracles that took place in the desert, right? God gave you the man. You remember all the things he did for you, and he did them for you as a test and maybe also as a proof, as a test to see if you would stay loyal, and as a proof that you should stay loyal, right? We saw it in the psukim and in the Ralbach. Okay, that's great. Now I want to look at a different interpretation, which offers something else. This is from the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, I gave you his little bio there. He lived from, he wrote this commentary between 1155 and 1165. And he takes a different tact. Let's see him on the bottom of the first page. Simlatcha, yesh omrim derech ot. Some say this was a miraculous sign. That's Rashi. Well, I don't know if he's quoting Rashi, but Rashi's one of those, the one we saw above, is that it's a miracle, a sign that God is always there. Right? That's what a miracle is. So, right, the Hebrew word for miracle is nes, which also means banner. A banner symbolizes something. In this case, a miracle symbolizes God's presence. Okay? So we have, according to Ibn Ezra and Rashi, according to the first view that cited by the Ibn Ezra, it was a miracle. Then he says this, Va'acherim omrim, ki hotziu malbushim rabim bimitzrayim. This wasn't a miracle at all. They just brought enough clothes with them to last them for 40 years. When something got worn out, they changed. Now, we know already when the Jews left Mitzrayim that they took stuff with them. The verses are explicit. Right? But we know that beforehand they took stuff. We know the psukim tell us they took. They took riches and gold so they also chopped some clothing, right? So, and by the way, it makes sense. It makes sense if they know that they are traveling through the desert. They didn't know they had a 40-year trip, but they knew they were traveling through the desert. It makes sense that you would take a change of clothes, or a couple of chains of clothes. So this is really interesting, right? Others say that they brought many garments out of Egypt. What do you think? What do you think is the sort of reasoning behind the Ibn Ezra's citing, whoever he cites? What do you think is the reason behind this approach? Right, within the context of the Pesukim, it seems much. It seems that it's part of all the other miracles. Right, all the miracles, and one of the miracles is the clothing. What do you think led this commentary, whoever the Ibn Ezra is quoting, to say, no, it wasn't a miracle. They just took a lot of stuff with them out of Egypt.
Maybe he's giving them credit for thinking for themselves.
All right. It could be.
No, it's another thing. Leaving Egypt was a miracle by itself. It means that everything that comes along, there are Egyptians, they escape drawn
In the sea?
In the sea.
Yeah.
And they somehow resort those clothes. It means that it's not just say that it's not a miracle. You have to look at it as complete package, which what really happened in this life. Nothing can see.
Right. So then what would motivate this commentary to say it wasn't a miracle? The clothing was not a miracle. They just brought it with them. I agree, in the context of the story being told, it makes more sense to say what Rashi said.
Yeah. Maybe he was afraid people would believe it. Like, we can believe the splitting of the sea, we can believe the manna, but let's not get carried away and believe.
Why is one more believable than the other?
Well, because growing into clothes, I'm having trouble with it. So.
And you have less trouble with the splitting of the sea
and
the Nile turning into blood.
No, I don't, actually.
But
yeah.
Why?
Because
they made a movie about that.
No. Oh, thank you.
And
oh,
you have a visual
you.
Of it.
Oh, thank you very much. No, that's testament to my intelligence. But let me go on. It's just I can imagine the splitting. I can. And I can imagine the physical splitting as a physical phenomena. I can imagine the manna falling as something. I can. Because other things fall from the sky.
But no,
I
one second. Lots of things fall from the sky, but not food.
Yeah, but I can't. Well, it doesn't matter. Other things fall from the sky. But I can't imagine, having had children, them growing into
Of course you can. We have things which are called elastic. In fact, now is easier. When the Ibn Ezra wrote this, there was no such thing as stretchable material. Now we have.
They wore tunics. They didn't even have.
Right? So, but the kids, I'm talking about the kids, but the kids, and it didn't, and now that it didn't wear out. This is an interesting experiment. What does anyone have? Does anyone share this? This is fascinating, Elisheva, that there are certain miracles which we could that we were easier to wrap our head around. So, does anyone have an easier time or a similar feeling that the miracles, X miracles, I could understand? But other miracles I can't?
Well, I think also God gave brains to man. He helped them leave Israel, and he helped them with the Red Sea, and he helped them. But he doesn't have to worry about what clothes you're going to wear today. He doesn't care if you wear red shoes or black shoes.
Ah, okay. So,
you know,
so that's good. So the Ibn Ezra is that I think that's right. I mean, the Ibn Ezra is saying, hold on a second, or whoever he's quoting. There are certain things which the Jewish people... There was no choice but for God to take care of them. If God did not give them food, there's no way they could have taken enough food for them for 40 years when they're leaving Mitzrayim. There was simply no way. Right? There was no way they could enough water. But theoretically, right, had they thought ahead, they would have taken extra clothes with them. And so the Ibn Ezra here is perhaps suggesting that we only say things are miracles when we absolutely have no choice but to say it was a miracle. But when there's a rational, reasonable explanation, so we can't say that the man wasn't a miracle. But here, maybe there's a way to, and what's interesting about that is I wonder, like, religiously, right? Religiously, what's the point, right? What's the point of diminishing? Some can make the argument the other way around. What's the point of diminishing the miraculous, right? Because this view is diminishing a miracle. We had 5 miracles, now we only have 4 miracles. We had the man, and we had the water, and we had the cloud, and we had the fire, and we had the clothing. Now we don't have the clothing, right? What's the religious purpose of diminishing the miracle, Doreen? Right.
We try to understand why things happen and to relate them to our current experience and knowledge.
Okay. Right. So when we can understand something, there's outside of it being a miracle, there's a value to that. Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
Clothing is part of the material. I mean, it's mundane, it's every day, so maybe it doesn't belong in the category of miracles. Because it's one of those things like you said, it's believable that they would bring
right. Okay.
Additional
clothing. Good.
So it's part of the material world as opposed to the spiritual.
I think that also there's a school of thought. The Rambam is in this school of thought that wants to argue this very point that we only say things are miracles when we absolutely have no choice, but otherwise we try to rationally understand what was going on in the Torah, and also teaches the lesson of self-sufficiency.
But God
right?
gave men a brain okay. to figure
right.
things out also.
Okay, great.
You can't just one miracle after the other without your effort.
Although on some level, sometimes it's impossible. Like with the food, no matter how hard the Bnei Israel tried, they weren't going to be able to grow food in the wilderness. So sometimes there has to, but otherwise you're right. That's another lesson, which is you have to try to take care of yourself and not to rely on a miracle.
I want to ask you a question. You said wilderness. A lot of people say desert. In the wilderness, you could get food. In a desert, you can't.
Yeah, but I don't think while... That's true. All right, so now, but let's keep reading the Ibn Ezra, because the Ibn Ezra goes on, and despite the fact that he quotes this, right? V'acherim omrim ki hotziu malbushim rabim mitraim v'yitachen she'ein betoldot haman leholid zeah. He says the probable explanation is that the diet of manna naturally does not give rise to perspiration. So he's going back to the miraculous, meaning the food is miraculous, and it's a miraculous type of food, and whatever a bodily sensation is created by the food perhaps leads to the clothing absorbing it and disintegrating over time, but the manna didn't allow that. So he ends up back in the miraculous camp, but it's interesting that he does entertain the possibility that it wasn't a miracle, that it was not a miracle at all, and that they simply brought their stuff with them. And he goes on when it talks about the clothing. Let's keep reading. That your feet did not swell. Migzerat vayaafu et habatzek. Right, like we said, like they bake the dough. That's what it means. Ki minhag regel ha'orach shehalach raglei derech rav sheyinafchu raglav v'taken shenatan lehem Hashem koach o holicham at. So why didn't their feet swell? It could be that God gave them extra endurance, meaning that was a miracle. Or, here again, the Ibn Ezra turns to the unmiraculous. Or he set a slow pace. If you set a slow pace, maybe your feet swell less, right? So in both cases, the Ibn Ezra entertains the possibility that this was not miraculous at all, and that it was... The Jewish people brought their own clothes, extra clothes with them, and God set a slow pace.
That's why
which
it took 40 years.
Which maybe, yeah.
They didn't walk very far either each day, did they?
It's unclear how far they walked each day. They didn't camp for long, for years and years and years at a time. But when they did walk, their feet didn't swell. Yeah, yes.
Also, it seems to me that they are healthy people. To go there, you don't sweat. Your feet are not swelling.
Right.
You have a good heart. It doesn't miraculous.
Well, that could all be the miracle, but yeah. Let's look at the Ramban one more time, the Ramban at the end. This is the last source. Go to page 3. There's no English, but I'll translate as we read. The Ramban quotes Rashi, quotes Ibn Ezra, and then offers his own opinion. Simlatcha lo valtame alecha, anane kavod hayu shafin b'chsutan, umigahatsim otam, kimo kelim hamuguatsim, v'chein kitanehem, kishayu gidalin, gadalu v'ushani mehem lashon Rashi. First he quotes Rashi, that the clouds of glory clean their garments and press them so they look freshly, like freshly ironed clothes. And so it was with their children as they grew, their garments grew with them. This is Rashi's language. And also are the words of the Agadah. This also happens to be a Midrash. And then he quotes to Ibn Ezra, who we saw, Aval Rabbi Avraham Katav V'acherim Amru Ki Hotziu Malbushim Rabim. Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra wrote, other scholars say that they took many garments out of Egypt. And now the Ramban is going to object to the Ibn Ezra precisely because of what we brought up. It just doesn't fit into the whole theme of what God is trying to accomplish here. And this is what the Ramban says. V'yitaken she'ein b'toldot haman lehulid zeya v'chein amru v'raglecha lo batzeka. And then he goes on to again explain the whole thing about walking slowly. Then he says, Aval, however, the Ein Divarav Nichonim, the Ibn Ezra's words are not correct, says the Ramban. The Ein Divarav Nichonim, Ki Moshe Yaskir Lahem Ze Lemur, Moshe mentions this to them in order to say, Ki Be'asiyat HaMitzvah Yelehem Mazon Uchsot V'yachlifu Koach. Kasher Chayu Biman Arba'im Shana. Moshe mentions this to them in order to say that upon observing the commandments of God, once they get to Israel, right, they will have food and clothing and renew their strength even as they lived by the manna 40 years. V'hayulahem simalot v'arach biraglam. Renew their strength even as they lived in the manna 40 years and they had garments. And the way with their feet, lo yavo did not wear out. V'hakomi maseh hanes. All of this was miraculous. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichya adam. We read that pasuk that everything happens because of the word of God. V'et parnes, and God also takes care of them. V'im tichase et hakura b'sim. Okay, and then he goes on to explain. And if you were to cover. He says, and plus, he tries to prove scientifically that the Ibn Ezra doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so but the Ramban is saying, it's nice what the Ibn Ezra is suggesting, even though he said scientifically it doesn't make sense, but it also doesn't make sense in the context of the Psukim. The whole purpose, which we saw at the end, was that at the beginning of the chapter, is if you follow the commandments, I'm going to provide for you, and here's what you should remember. Remember how I provided for you when you came through the desert with all of these things? I'll provide the same way for you in Israel if you do the mitzvot. So what good is mentioning the clothing that you brought in your suitcase with you in the context of God providing? That wasn't God providing. That was Bnei Israel using their own seichel to provide. So even though I personally like the Ibn Ezra's approach in the sense that I like the idea of trying to understand the Torah rationally and minimizing the miraculous and only saying that something's a miracle when it has to be a miracle. Here in context, I think the Ramban makes a good point. It doesn't truly make sense within the flow of the Psukim. And in fact, this is how this section of the Ramban is understood by the tour. If you just look, we'll quickly finish with this on page 2. If you go back to page 2, commentary written by Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, known as the Baal HaTurim, also wrote a very important halachic work. He quotes Rashi and he quotes the Ramban as well. And if you look towards the bottom of page 2, sort of like a quarter of the way up. Nachmanides, right over here. Let's see where my finger is. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12 lines up from the bottom. Nachmanides disagrees with Ibn Ezra, seeing that Moses was at pains to explain to the people that observing the commandments had been the reason for their phenomenal success in the last 40 years. Moses simply points to the immediate past being an allusion to the future, when, if they continue on the right path, God will continue to make life easy for them. It would be counterproductive to explain what Moses said here as being natural phenomenon, when the whole point of Moses recalling the past is to encourage the people so that they would continue to qualify for the kind of miracles they experienced in the past. The basic lesson Moshe is trying to get across is that man lives on everything that emanates from God, not just from what grows out of the earth and the oceans. New clothes are no insurance against moths or other destructive agents of nature, so that a degree of God's supervision is needed regardless of how secure one feels with one's own worth. Then he adds another interesting point at the end, meaning even if you've done your own due diligence and you've managed to provide for yourself, in a flash it could be taken away by something totally unexpected, like, right. So you still need God's protection. So even if you manage to take clothing out of Mitzrayim, it doesn't change the fact that God created this, the conditions in the desert so that those clothes wouldn't get ruined either. And so the tour here is simply pointing out, as I mentioned earlier, that in the context it doesn't really make sense to say that this was natural. I'll just leave you with one question. Nechama Leibowitz, who was a well-known Torah teacher, she has a lesson on this whole thing, and she quotes some of the same sources that we have. And she asks a question. She asks if one can find any proof in the verses or any support in the verses or the verse that we have to the second approach of the Ibn Ezra, which is the non-miraculous approach. I can't find it. I don't see anything in the verse that seems to indicate anything other than the miracle. There's another verse at the end, more towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the end of the book of Devarim, in chapter 28, verse 4, where God comes back and says, "Ve'olech etchem arba'im shana b'midbar, lo valu salmotechem me'alechem, v'na'alcha lo valta me'al raglecha," which means, "I led you for 40 years in the wilderness, your garment did not wear out from on you, and your shoe did not wear out from your foot." Again, seems to me to be a miraculous. Well, there's some repetition. So I'm not sure what Nechama Leibowitz is getting at, where she's looking for some support, some linguistic support in the verse to Rashi's second interpretation. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it comes from. But.
Can I ask you something? Didn't God make man and gave us a brain to use? It says God made Nazis. He didn't make Nazis. He made men that started to become Nazis. So I think it's the same thing. You have to give man a little credit for taking care of himself. That wasn't always...
Right. The challenge here is it doesn't make sense in the context of the lesson. In the context of the lesson that Moshe is trying to teach, it doesn't make sense. I believe that that's true, but I'm not sure if that is easily supportable in the context of these verses. Okay, everyone.